This is the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show, Series 6, Episode 28. Build your super strengths. Coming up on this week's Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show, we often talk about working on weaknesses, especially as a coach, but sometimes it's about building up your strengths too. So we have a good discussion about that on the show and how you can build up your strength into super strengths. And we also answer a couple of readers' questions, one about a stance and hitting the ball into the offside, and another about how to score runs a little bit more quickly when the pitch is slow and it's hard to score. Welcome to the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. This is your guide to better cricket, no matter who you are and no matter where you are. We've got half an hour ahead of us where we're going to talk about coaching and playing cricket. My name's David Hinchliffe. I look after things here, as I have done every week for many, many weeks now. And helping me with that particular task are two cricket coaches who are on the line now, the first of which is the Director of Cricket Coaching at Millfield School. It's Mark Garraway. Hello, Garris.
How are you?
Very good, thanks. Yep, in the middle of some crazy cricket camp goodness, and it's always exhausting and exhilarating at the same time.
I know how you feel on that one, mate. Fortunately, I've only got a couple of those this summer, because it does take the energy out of you, that is for sure, but immense fun whilst you're doing it.
Second of all, it's the cricket professional at Portsmouth Grammar School. It's Sam Lavery. Hello, Lavers.
Hello, David.
Have you got any summer camp excitement over the next few weeks?
Not any summer camp excitement particularly. I've got, I continue to work with the years 7, 8, 9, 10 at school a little bit. So we have a group session each week throughout the summer for those who want to come along. But that's just an optional thing for them. So I continue on with that. And then plodding along with club cricket still.
Yeah, is it? The time of year where people need to just give themselves a little bit of jog of motivation, because it's not quite the end of the season yet, but they're still perhaps haven't achieved everything that they want to achieve by this point. Do you know what I mean? It's a bit of a lull around this time, is that?
Yeah, I think we may have discussed it or written about it last year, but you do get that sort of that phase where you're halfway through or just past halfway through the season, and some guys have made some targets for themselves, and they've maybe gone down that route of having their targets based on runs scored or wickets taken, and maybe not quite where they are, and the league's kind of already maybe sorting themselves out, and you find people are already drifting into that mid-table obscurity a little bit. And it's a good time when you get to sort of 6-8 weeks to go to just to try and reinvigorate a little bit and just try and change things up at training and get a little bit of new excitement into the way things are going to go, to try and recapture the imagination and the excitement of the players for training and for playing.
Yeah, the last thing you want, especially in club cricket, is that people can drift away and do other things, can't they, and sort of make themselves unavailable when perhaps they could have played, but you know, they're just thinking, oh well, you know, I could always play next week. And that's what you want to keep from happening as much as possible.
Absolutely. I mean, we're fortunate enough that doesn't really happen in first team, and to a degree second team as well. Down into the third and the fourth team at the club, you expect that, and it's not necessarily the primary focus for people when it comes to the weekend, and that's what you have to manage. And we're lucky to be in a situation where we can rotate, and we have a number of players that allows us to have a certain number who can be flexible, and they can go away and they can come back as they choose. And we've got a good bank of juniors who are all looking for senior opportunities as well. So it's difficult to manage it and keep everyone happy as well as keeping everyone involved. But you've got to kind of plan ahead and being as open as honest as you can with everyone when it comes to selection. And hopefully you're not in a situation on a Friday night, Saturday morning where you're one man short.
Let's talk about another subject now, which I was reading about this week. Specifically, I was cradling close in my arms my much cherished copy of Bob Woolmer's Art and Science of Cricket, which makes an appearance every week on this show as a stand for my microphone. But also, I do read it as well from time to time. And there's a portion in the book there where Bob Woolmer was talking about how he went into the Pakistan team and said, "What? How can I help you?" And the Pakistan players, is what you need us What we need from you, Bob, is we need you to identify our weaknesses and then eliminate them. And he said in reply that rather than doing that, he was going to identify their strengths and make them into much better strengths, because he felt that was a much more productive thing to do. But I guess it generally, that's if you ask a lot of coaches what they say their job is, they would say it's identify and eliminate weaknesses. So how do we focus on the strengths instead of focusing on the weaknesses all the time, as is very commonly happens?
I think one of the starting points would be to canvas opinion as a player of what your strengths are and what people perceive your strengths to be. And that's just a simple conversation, and it's with somebody that you respect, who's seen enough cricket that you've played. It doesn't have to necessarily be a coach. It could be your best mate that's grown up with you. It could be somebody you open the batting with. It could be somebody who sits and watches the first team play every week, or the second team if you're in that side. And ask them what your strengths are, because sometimes we don't always appreciate what our strengths are. And I'm sure when Bob asked that question of the Pakistan team and put that to them, and some of them might not have been able to really connect with what their strengths were, even guys of that level, and there were some very good players in that team. So that's a starting point, is to identify them and get people's views on it, because we don't always see what our strengths are. We're very good at picking out our own weaknesses or areas that we want to grow, rather than the ones that that we stand up for, our signature shots, our signature delivery, our signature traits that we have within our game. So that would be the first point for me, would be to start looking at that.
And so when you have identified those strengths, what can you do to push them up to another level?
Well, I think you need to identify what the next level is. That's first and foremost. So, I've worked with a player for 3 or 4 years that's done incredibly well this year. He's broken all sorts of records, and he's gone up into second 11 cricket, and this week scored 2 incredibly good innings against some good bowling attacks. Yet he's faced a couple of challenges in there, and one of them has been that he plays around his front pad, and I've just had a discussion today. He does play around his front pad a bit with his second team coach, who's concerned about that, and rightfully so, because he's seen him against some decent bowlers. But to me, we need to look at it in the context. He's also blooming good off of his legs. That little step that he takes going across to the offside enables him to access the ball outside off stump. And so we need to, instead of saying, right, we're going to stop that from happening, we need to work out what the pros and cons for doing that are, and also what the next step that player is going to look like if we get this right, if we get this bit of intervention right. So having a real clear vision for that person of what the next stage is going to be is going to be crucial, and he needs to buy into that. Otherwise, as coaches or observers, all we're doing really is interfering rather than helping them get to the next level. So, once you've identified what your strengths are, and his is definitely playing off of his legs, how can you make that better? And to me, it would be probably to increase the degrees on the leg side that he can score off of those balls. So if his best area is cut out, can he hit the ball straight down the ground, or can he get slightly further inside it and get it backward as square with little risk? Those are the things to look at. So once you've identified your strength, you've also got to have a clear vision of what the next stage looks like, and then you can start working towards that with your drills or with your practices, or even with your mental training in between training sessions and matches.
So Labour's often as well, something that is a player's strength can also be their weakness, because they are, say, relying on something in particular. Sometimes it can restrict them. I'm thinking perhaps of an example of a bowler who's very good at bowling line and length in particular, but then if they're required to bowl in a situation, say, a death of a 20-over match, they might, if they're hitting line and length, which would be great in a longer format a game at the start of a game, it would go to all parts in the end of a 2020 game. So how do you keep someone's strength and stop it being their weakness as well?
It's a good question. And I think one of the things you can pick out from that example is if someone is a line and length bowler and they've got that ability to repeat and to reproduce the same ball over and over again, then they've got an element of repeatability to their action. So there should be an opportunity to convert that line and length, which they can bowl to on a consistent basis over and over again, into another type of delivery, whether it be a Yorker whether it be a slow ball, whatever it may be, but there should be an opportunity to convert that because it seems they've got a consistent action, an action that stands up to the pressures of the game that they play in, presumably quite successfully. So can we take their strengths that they have already and just utilise them in a slightly different manner? So I think we can all think of different circumstances where people have strengths and weaknesses. Maybe people very aggressive. So obviously David Gow has won over the years that you'll say he was very strong through the square through the covers on the offside, but also it was his downfall. And some of them are going to be easier to navigate and to get your head around than others. But can we utilise the skill that they have within that strength and make it more beneficial to them? So the bowling example works quite well, where we can just try and use their repeatability and turn them into a different delivery. Batting wise, it'd be interesting, depending on the shot and the situation, to see how we can approach it.
And I guess that's it's just as important, the mindset or the context of the difference between saying a bowler saying, "Oh, I can't bowl at the death. You know, when I try and bowl at the death, I bowl the same line and length that I always bowl." But that's a very different mindset from saying, "Well, I know I'm an accurate bowler. At the moment, I can't necessarily hit a Yorker, but I know that I've got the skills to be an accurate bowler, so I can turn that into a Yorker if I want to." And that's suddenly saying, "I'm not a very good death bowler," so saying, "Actually, accuracy is my strength."
It's all mindset, isn't it? People have something locked in their mind and they kind of take it everywhere with them, and they think they're not good at something, or they think that they are particularly strong at something, or they'll never be able to achieve a particular thing. And they carry that around with them all day, every day, in all walks of life, whether it's going to work, going to cricket training, playing on a Saturday, whatever it might be. And they have that element of fixed mindset where they don't believe they can achieve certain things because it's already been defined for them. However, if they actually take a step back, have a look at the pros and cons of what they've got at the moment, the different attributes or skills they have gone, they'll see that they can adapt some things and they can reapply certain skills they have slightly differently.
Okay, let's wrap up this section with the yes-no round. Three questions that can only be answered yes or no, no matter how much more that the team want to say. I've got the question, so let's fire away. Question one. Too many people are happy with good enough.
Yes.
Yes.
Second question. Intent has become an overused word in cricket.
No.
No.
Third question. More run outs are lost to misfields than to missed throws.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, it's about this point in the show that we dig into the mailbag and pick out a couple of questions that have been sent in by listeners to this show or readers to the Pitch Vision Academy website. And we do our level best to answer those questions. But whether we answer them well or not, and that's really up to you whether we do that, but whether we answer them well or not, the best question of the week wins a prize, which is an online coaching course courtesy of Pitch Vision Academy at pitchvision.com. And there's some great names there to give you some more coaching advice if you feel like the answer that we gave wasn't quite enough. But hopefully it will certainly be a place for you to start. Kara's the first person to send in the question this week. And Kara says, "I'm a right-handed batsman. I get caught out on the offside just behind covers on a ball pitch on a good length just outside off stump. When I take guard, my right foot's on middle stump and my left foot's on leg stump. I realised I'm making this mistake because I'm not able to reach the ball. I'm trying to hit it hard over the covers while the bat is away from my body. I've recently adopted the open stance, but a couple of friends have told me to close my stance in order to fix this batting problem. Is it true that I'm not able to reach the ball pitched outside off stump on a good length because my left foot is not able to get closer to the ball? Is this a drawback of an open stance?"
Okay, right, let's just try and pick apart the question a little bit. Obviously, it's related to a length ball on or outside of stump and getting caught and hitting the ball in the air. However, that's kind of the periphery of the problem. The main issue, or the initial point I would look at is he stopped adopting an open stance. He's recently adopted his open stance, but a couple of his friends have told him to go back to fix the problem. Now, was there a problem before he opened his stance up would be the first thing you consider, and you would assume that he's changed his stance and you've made your stance more open for a reason. So it would be interesting to know what's the reason that you've gone from open stance, sorry, from a neutral stance to an open stance, because you've obviously done that for a reason. It sounds like, and I'm kind of trying to work out the timeline in my head, but it sounds like you had a neutral stance, you've opened it, this problem has appeared, your friends are telling you to close it again. I'm not sure if that's exactly right. Is that how you're reading it, guys?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
So, I mean, the first port of call would be what was the issue for opening the stance? What were the problems you were having when you had a more neutral stance? And what are the benefits you're getting from the open stance that are outweighing the negatives that you're finding there? So I would ask that question first of all. Moving on to the more specific point of the pros and cons of opening up that stance, there are obviously some added benefits to it, that it does allow you to help you access that ball when it's coming into your pads a little more. It gives you a little bit more balance laterally as it extends your base from off to leg, so it gives you a little bit more width. So there are benefits to that, clearly. But you're right, it can cause some people the issue that they don't necessarily get as close to the ball, and if that's the way they like to play the shot, then that could cause a problem. It sounds like when you play the shot, you probably play it with more of an angled bat. I'm just having another skim through there, and it sounds like it might be that you're playing that cover drive with an angled bat, whether or not that's how you want to play it or how you naturally swing through a ball in that direction. Not so sure, but I think you might find that depending on the way you move, and Gareth will be able to go on to this in a little bit more detail, opening up that stance can have an effect on how close you will get to the ball. So obviously, if you're the sort of guy that is going to lean into the ball head first, then you might find you can still get fairly close to it because your body weight and your head are going to take you across even though you're slightly open. If you're going to drive out with your feet and you're going to use your legs to get your weight going forwards, then you might find that actually the open stance, you're not actually going to get that close to the ball. However, you're going to play it with more of an angled bat, and maybe you're more comfortable and familiar doing it that way. So there are going to be pros and cons to it. What I would throw into the mix is when you open your stance, a lot of people instinctively do exactly what you've done, which is going from big toes on middle stump through to front foot on leg stump, back foot on middle stump. I would suggest, why not try pivoting on your front foot rather than your back foot? So why doesn't your big toe of your front foot stay on middle stump, and then your big toe on your back foot go across to middle and off? So you've still got the open position, you've still spread your body weight a little bit, you're staying closer to the ball on the offside, you've still got that open stance so you can access the ball when it comes onto your legs. No doubt there will be repercussions and things that aren't to your liking as well, but there are potentially a few pros there. So that might be one little thing you could play around with, is shifting the way you open your stance to, rather than going front foot opens, you can go back foot opens. And goes across towards middle and off.
Yeah, again, I think Sam's hit the nail on the head about why did you open your stance in the first place, and some people prefer it. So I'm guessing from the detail in your question that you're a right-handed batter. And with that in mind, somebody who would have a more open stance is somebody whose right eye generally will be the one that tracks the ball the best. And because their right eye is the one that wants to track the ball a bit more, by having a slightly more open stance allows a right-handed batter's right eye to get more access to the ball. Equally, if you're a left motor eye, your left eye tracks motion better, then a right-handed batter would generally have a more sideways on stance, you know, so the feet would be more in line. So the way to work that out is to get somebody to throw the ball to you to do some catching, and for you to compare your left side catching to your right side catching, and effectively the way that you turn your body or turn your head will tell you whether your right eye or left eye is the one that tracks the ball most effectively into contact. So if you do that and get somebody to video you just for a second validation, and that would be good. But the way that you turn, for me, I'm a left motor eye person, so if the ball goes to my left, I don't have to turn much of my body or my head at all to get to the ball, because I can just track it all the way. Yet if a ball goes to my right side, I have to turn my body to allow my left eye to track the ball into contact better. So that's the best way of working on it. Now, if you are left motor eyed, then that open stance for a right-handed batter won't work for you, because as you describe, which I imagine you probably are left motor eyed, that it seems a long way to get to the line of a ball on fifth or sixth stump outside off stump. And the reason why it's a long way isn't because of the centimetres and metres, it's because you then, to be able to track the ball into motion, you've got to rotate your body hugely in order to track that ball into contact as best as you possibly can. So I would suggest getting your do that test to confirm that you're a left motor eye person, and then to straighten up your stance, see your feet are mostly in line, and that will help you to track the ball a little bit better outside off stump and reduce the amount of distance and reduce the amount of effort that it will take for you to be able to watch the ball into contact. Because by the sound of the result that you're getting, your contact point is compromised. So you're either playing the ball too early because you don't quite know where it is, or you're not being able to control the bat face and on the ball well enough actually when you make contact with it. And that generally is down to our vision rather than our movement. So if our vision is right, then our body will generally unwind itself and be able to cope with the challenge that you're presented with. So I would say do the test, confirm if you need to come slightly more sideways as a left motorized right-handed batter, and then really force yourself to either push your shoulder into it or just turn your body so you can get your left motor eye better onto the line of a ball, and you'll find that your contacts outside off stump will be better.
Next question is from JB. And JB is from a part of the world, Gareth, that you have some knowledge of. JB says, I'm a left-handed opening batsman for Limerick Cricket Club in Ireland. We're an amateur club. We don't have a professional coach. And I'm struggling to play on slow wickets. I've been coached to wait for the ball, which is technically correct, when I'm a batsman who accumulates runs rather than hits the ball to the boundary, but I do have the mentality to hit big shots. Are there any tips you can give me to help improve my game?
Yeah, there are. Fantastic to hear from you, JB. Magnificent part of the world, and certainly during my time with Cricket Ireland, one of our aims and one of the things that we spent a lot of time and resource on was trying to open up as many areas of cricket as possible around the island of Ireland that hadn't normally had so much cricket there in the recent past, and Limerick was one of those. So really great to hear from you on the show. Slow wickets, I think it's a challenge for a lot of people, and having watched a lot of cricket, not necessarily played a lot of cricket in Ireland, I appreciate that many wickets, particularly your neck of the woods, are going to be pretty slow. I suppose coaching has said that we have to wait for the ball, and yeah, in the main we do. Most of the players in the world have to make contact with the ball really late under their eyes, and some even more so behind their eyes to be really in charge of the ball. So, you know, if you fall into the 77% of those guys, then the bit of advice that you've been given is good. However, the challenge with any advice is actually putting that into action and making it work for yourself. And sometimes when we keep telling ourselves to wait for the ball, wait for the ball, wait for the ball, and we see professional players do this on the telly when they're doing their self-talk as somebody's coming in to bowl at them, it's easier said than done. And that's why quite a few little games that you can play are really useful. So one of the games that I play with people that are making contact with the ball a bit too early or are struggling on slow wickets is to make them try and make the ball bounce after it's been hit on the cut strip. So obviously if you're doing that straight down the ground, then that's great. But even when you're hitting the ball relatively square of the wicket, particularly off a front foot, if you're playing a square drive, if you can hit the ball late, you will make a divot on the cut strip, particularly on your softer wickets in Ireland, and you'll be able to see that happening. Whereas if we're making contact a bit earlier, then if we are going to be making a divot, it will be in front of a fielder rather than next to ourselves. So playing bounce ball is a fantastic game. So you hit the ball and you're looking to try and create a divot or make the ball bounce as close to you as possible, and ideally on the cut strip. It's a game you can do in nets. It's a game that you can do out in the middle, and it becomes a game within a game when you're playing out in the middle, which is fantastic. The other thing, and obviously this is dependent on if a keeper's standing back, but a lot of good players, when they're playing on slower wickets, will walk down the wicket, move down the wicket, not charge down the wicket, but move down the wicket to put their momentum into the ball, back into the ball, to reduce the time lag off of the pitch into the bat, which obviously is something that is affected by slow wicket. So if you can put yourself further down the wicket and walk down the wicket and then play your shot, then you'll be taking out the time and distance between ball bounce and ball contact. And obviously that then gives you the opportunity to push the ball either side of a bowler, because you've effectively taken 3 or 4 yards out of the pitch to pick up quick singles that you wouldn't normally be able to mid off and mid on. And it's a tactic that many players use now on slow wickets, and that's extending down into the club game and into the school game, which is fantastic to see. The best exponent of somebody walking down the wicket on slow pitches that I can remember playing against and watching, and in fact playing with, was Matthew Hayden. He would, against medium pacers or guys that weren't getting it to come onto the bat with a keeper back, would walk down the wicket and would take the length out of the ball and put his body momentum back into it. So, you know, if you can play bounce ball, and if you can start to practice and then take into matches the ability to walk down the pitch and then play a shot from some further up the wicket, then they're two fantastic tactics for you to have.
Lever, slow wickets is an interesting one for me here as well. It's things are just about starting to get okay now, but we spent a long time on some real pudding. So I'd like to get your thoughts on this for me as well as for JB.
Yeah, well, I think that that idea of practicing that bounce ball method is a really good way to go. Just moving on from that, I'd start to think about how you then apply this to a match situation and how you put this into your new role. Is it aggressive or slightly more attacking role that you want to play with your team? And I think that you can very quickly find yourself playing slightly differently, and people in the team look at you and saying, look, that's not the way you play, that's not your role, etc., etc. So once you have started to develop and you think you can start to play this new way, and you can really be aggressive and positive against on those slower pitches, I would then try and be as open and as clear as you can with the people around you that you're trying to do something different and you're trying to change the way you play. Otherwise, you can very quickly find other people getting on your back a little bit and just putting that added pressure on you. But if you make it clear, look, I'm trying to do this, I'm trying to be more aggressive, I'm trying to play a more positive role, then you might have that little bit more support around you that keeps you going and just allows you to continue. And when you get 2 or 3 weeks in, you're maybe not having the success you want and you've still got people backing you up, then that extra support will help you through it. So from a technical point of view, keep trying to play do those drills that Gareth has talked about. And from a mental point of view or a psychological point of view, just try and engage the support you can around you from your teammates to try and help you through the initial changing process that you're going to go through.
The other thing to consider as well when you're playing on slower wickets is that you can actually get away from the bounce of a ball a little bit as well. So particularly against your medium pacers and your spin bowlers, whereas we tend to be a little bit leaden footed and a bit complacent on the back foot against medium pacers and against spin bowlers in particular on slow wickets. We can actually get away from it, the bounce of a ball, and increase the distance between yourself and the ball, and therefore be able to play in particular pull shots. And somebody who did that really well, particularly against spin, was Mike Hussey, who would push back off of his front foot, get as deep as he could do into the crease, and on the slowest of wickets, and he played up at Durham on some pretty slow wickets at the beginning of the 2005 season. And all I can remember is as soon as our spinners missed their length, Ian Blackwell, Keith Dutch, Wes Durston, missed their length by half a foot, he would be springing back onto his stumps and using the slowness of a pitch to be able to play pull shots. Now, some of the time, those balls didn't bounce, but because he flexed his legs and got down to ball level, he was hitting mid-stump balls with a pull shot for four, which no other player in the team or in our team was able to do. And all of a sudden, the game was accelerating in those times where we were hoping to be able to build some pressure up on him and also his teammates by drying it up on slow wickets with slow bowlers. So, you know, there's another added thing. Don't always see it as a negative. Actually, it can create an opportunity for you as well, particularly if you get yourself low and you can start to hit back of the length balls with pull shots on wickets that are slow, rather than the normal straight batted shots that you would play if a wicket was quick, which obviously aren't as strong or as powerful.
I guess one of the key elements of that is picking up that length as early as possible as well, isn't it? That you'd be able to do that, because a lot of people, especially on slower wickets, they take the back foot out of the equation completely. So I'm just going to camp out on the front foot. They stop thinking about picking the length at all, really. You just go, well, pretty much everything's good. Unless it's a horrendous short ball, everything's going to be front foot anyway, so I'm just going to camp out there.
And that goes back to the point that Sam made earlier, which is about this growth mindset, isn't it? You know, you're in a situation, it's perceived that these slow wickets are difficult to score on, yet the ones that see that as an opportunity rather than a reason to drop anchor are the ones that come out with it with the strongest options and therefore more likely to perform on a consistent basis on those types of wickets. So it's about seeing opportunity rather than the challenge.
Coming up now is the Soapbox. That is 60 seconds on the clock, and one of the members of the team gets to talk about whatever they like in a cricket-related context without any interruption. This week it's Sam Lavery, so Lavis, over to you.
Okay, well, one of the things I look at and I see a lot of people doing now is increasing the amount of time they put into fitness or strength and conditioning. And that obviously is a big way that people prepare, and you see lots of fast bowlers doing all their work pre-season. I think it's quite common knowledge that throughout the season that starts to die away, and our fast bowlers and our cricketers in general aren't in the same shape. And I kind of wonder why that is sometimes, and there seems to be a big aversion from people putting fitness work into match day scenarios. And I think one thing we can start to do is think that, yes, there's performance going on, but there's also room for improvement on match days, especially when you look at club cricketers who don't necessarily have time to commit to 4 or 5 sessions a week. The times that they do commit to cricket need to be maximised as best they can. So, yes, there might be times where people have still got a big part to play in the game and they don't want to have a big fitness session, but if there is an opportunity for half an hour, see if you can squeeze in a little bit of fitness work, and that can maximise you for the week coming ahead.
And that is the end of the show for another week. Before we go, we're going to decide on the winner of this week's competition, the online coaching course, courtesy of Pitch Vision Academy at pitchvision.com. And the two questions available to win the prize this week are Kara's question, about his stance and his guard and playing the ball through the offside, and JB's question about having some scoring options when the pitches are slow. Which one did you prefer this week, Gareth?
All I can hear is the Irish national anthem in my head that we used to belt out before ODIs. So, JB, from Limerick Cricket Club in Ireland, you've got it. Bit parochial, I appreciate that, but that's the winner this week, and good luck with playing the ball late.
Well, Gareth, there's nothing nothing in the rules of this competition that says you can't pick it on anything you like, so that's perfectly fine.
You're very kind.
Now, if Kara wanted to have another go, or somebody else wanted to send in a question, how could they get in touch with us to do that and get it answered on the show?
They could give us a call on 0203 239 7543 or drop us an email at coach@pitchvision.com.
That's right. Social media is also available. Our Twitter is @pitchvisionacad, and the Facebook is facebook.com/pitchvisionacademy. You can listen to the show every week as well. If you want to subscribe to that, just go to your favorite podcast app on your favorite device, mobile or otherwise, and do a search for Pitch Vision Academy. You'll find us in there. Click on the subscribe button. It works in iTunes and Downcast, Overcast, Pocket Casts, anything you care to mention there. And if you want to get the show notes, or you want to stream the show live, or just have a look at the vast amount of information that we've got over at Pitch Vision Academy on our website, then go to pitchvision.com/academy and click on the podcast link for all the details on subscribing and listening to the show. That's all for this week. We hope you listen next week, but until then, have a good week. Cheers, Gareth. Cheers, Lavers.
Cheers, guys.